This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars episode number 22 was recorded on June 24th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. All-Star Luke Groman has been on fire with a whole string of really, really spot-on calls in the market, and he's back with us today as our All-Star interview. This episode of Macro Voices All-Stars is brought to you by TopTradersUnplugged.com, the leading podcast for systematic trading and investing. They're even offering Macro Voices listeners a free book. I'll tell you how to claim it at the end of this episode. Luke, before we get started, I just want to describe a little bit of history for any new listeners that may be joining us. You've been telling us a very, very dollar bearish story for as long as we've known you. But for the last 6 to 8 months, you've been tactically dollar bullish. And you told us in your last All-Stars interview that you were no longer dollar bullish. You were dollar bearish. You think it's over for the dollar and headed substantially lower. And at the time, we kind of rolled our eyes and says, well, that's Luke for you. Needless to say, the tape has told a pretty darn compelling story. The dollar has fallen off a cliff. Gold has gone through the roof, all things that you have predicted. So you're looking awfully right, sir. So as we evaluate some of the things that have been happening in stocks, rates, foreign exchange, gold, and everything, and of course, last week's Fed minutes, let's jump right in. What's got your attention this week, and what are you watching?
Thanks, Eric. You know, it's as they say in this business, sometimes better lucky than good. So it's, you know, some of these factors we've been talking about, they seem to be coming to a head. So it's been fun to watch for the last few weeks. So, you know, in terms of what we're watching, what's caught our attention in the last few weeks, you know, going into the last two Fed meetings at the beginning of May and then last week's, you know, we thought there was a potential for some fireworks. And this view was based on a topic that we touched on back in the May 28th Macro Voices All-Star interview, in which we touched on Fed funds rate being above interest on excess reserves, or IOER, which we suggested we thought was an important signal of a dollar shortage in the U.S.'s own banking system being caused effectively at the core by too big of federal deficits in the face of too little of foreign demand for treasuries. And so back on May 28th, we said this was effectively a sign that the Fed was beginning to lose control of the price of money in the U.S., or Fed funds rates, which all else equal should not happen. And then lastly, we said we thought that the Fed would be forced to cede control over the quantity of money in order to control the price of money, because if the Fed doesn't control the price of money, you know, like we said, Fed funds rates, then there's really no reason for the Fed to exist. And so, you know, like we said, back on May 28th, we noted the following: critically, Fed funds over IOER will only be dollar positive and risk asset negative for as long as the Fed's willing to lose control of the price of money in the U.S. Personally, I don't think they're going to be willing to lose control of the price of the money in the U.S. for very long, however. So then we get into a reflexive question. If everyone thinks the Fed won't be willing to lose control of the price of money in the U.S., then what is mechanically a dollar positive should reflexively begin to drive positioning the other way in expectation of a weak dollar as the Fed is forced to inject dollar liquidity, in effect, to fund the U.S. government's deficits. This then sets up an interesting dynamic. In most countries, a fiscal crisis is negative for risk assets, but in the U.S., that will only be the case if the Fed decides to permanently lose control of the price of money. Given that the controlling the price of money in the U.S. is the Fed's primary reason for existence, we do not think they're going to decide to lose control of that price of money. And if that's the case, then it's hard for me to get too excited about the dollar from this point. And so that's what we said back on May 28th. And so we fast forward to last week's Fed meeting, and it appears the Fed's moving in the direction we thought they would. And even though it seemed like risk markets and rates had begun to discount this possibility throughout June leading up to the meeting, it seems that, as you noted, that gold, the dollar, and Bitcoin have only just recently begun to join that party.
Well, indeed, it appears they have, with gold and Bitcoin and the dollar all crossing important technical thresholds last week. So where do you stand today? How are you thinking about these things at this point?
You know, unless something really big changes, I think we're probably in the very early innings of the trends that we began seeing in the past few weeks.
Why do you say that?
Well, I think setting aside the technical levels that have been broken, what's grabbed me about what has transpired over the last few weeks is really the complete lack of discussion by most market participants or really the Fed about what's going on, what the underlying cause of all of this.
What do you mean?
What I mean is that there was no discussion by the Fed or Powell in either the release or at the press conference afterwards about Fed funds over being over IOER. The discussions I've seen or watched on CNBC or Bloomberg or even on, you know, FinTwit or Twitter about the Fed's actions have almost exclusively centered on the debate about whether the economy needed cuts or not, with stocks at the highs or near the highs and with unemployment at 60-year lows. But there's just been virtually no discussion about what we think is the true underlying cause of what's forcing the Fed's hand, which, you know, going back again to the May 28th interview we did on Macro Voices All-Stars, and as we wrote in an April 30th report to FFTT subscribers, we said rising U.S. government deficits are increasingly crowding out the U.S. private sector because deficits are structurally rising while foreign central banks aren't buying treasuries, and foreign private sector investors are effectively being paid not to buy treasuries by prohibitively high FX hedging costs. And so, to us, Fed funds being above interest on excess reserves is a real-time indicator that the U.S. is heading toward a fiscal crisis. So then back on May 28, we then went on to note the Fed is going to be forced to cede control over the quantity of money in order to control the price of money. Basically, in order to regain control of the price of money or rates, the Fed's going to be forced to begin growing its balance sheet again much sooner than most think, and likely permanently. And given this dynamic, what Lael Brainard at the Boston Fed said back in early May was, I thought, critically important, where she said, under this policy, the Fed would stand ready to use its balance sheet to hit the targeted interest rate. But unlike the asset purchases that were undertaken in the recent recession, there'd be no specific commitments with regard to the purchases of treasuries. And the articles at the time noted that she was the second U.S. central banker to talk about it, in addition to Clarida, saying it was the first time since such a policy was used since World War II. And so, as we said at the time, for us, these were huge comments, especially knowing that Clarida had said something similar earlier this year. And knowing that the Treasury Borrowing Advisory Committee put out a piece in 1Q noting that the U.S. might have to get creative in its TIPS offerings in order to continue growing U.S. private sector demand for treasuries.
Yeah, I remember you saying that you thought Brainard's speech was really important. But for the benefit of our listeners who may not have heard that, can you repeat again why you thought her announcement was so particularly important?
Sure. So back on the May 28th edition of Macro Voices All-Stars, we said, because it suggested to me that the Fed is beginning to realize they're going to have to inject out of liquidity, whether that's swaps or grow their balance sheet or cut rates, with unemployment at 60-year lows and with stocks at or near all-time highs. So it was really, and it, to us, it was the recognition by the Fed of the predicament they were in.
I remember that conversation vividly. Interestingly, I have the transcript of the interview right in front of me. And after you said that, I then asked you, why would the Fed do that again, given that the economy is still relatively strong? To which you responded, and I quote, setting aside that the U.S. economy is now slowing, because what the Fed's going to be forced to do has nothing to do with what the U.S. economy is doing and everything to do with financing the U.S. government, particularly given that the U.S. government is now in a trade war, arguably a Cold War. It's interesting that Brainard referred to a policy that was last used during World War II to fund the cost of war, when the Fed said, hey, we'll buy every 10-year U.S. Treasury the U.S. government issues at 2.5%, no questions asked. We've long been saying that this day was coming. We likely highlighted this on a prior Macro Voices appearance, so imagine our surprise when we heard the Fed talking about it even sooner than we thought it would come. End quote. So let me ask you a couple of final questions, Luke. Why do you still think that we're still in the early innings of this process, given everything that's happening? And number two, earlier you used the caveat, unless something really big changes regarding being in the early innings. What would be some of the really big changes that could take place that could change your view that we're in the early innings?
Yeah, those are great questions, Eric. Ultimately, the reason I think we're still in the early innings of this is because no one's talking about the underlying cause of what the Fed is doing, which the underlying cause is ultimately a rapidly accelerating U.S. fiscal problem that is forcing the U.S. government to crowd out the U.S.'s own banking system, creating a dollar shortage. No one is talking about it, quote, reminds me actually of the early movies in the Harry Potter series. I don't know if you've seen them. My kids are a big fan. They're actually incredibly well done, but the main villain, Voldemort, is referred to as he who must not be named for fear of summoning him in the early, you know, first three, four movies. And it's almost like the same dynamic here, except even earlier in the process, because most market participants do not even seem aware that Voldemort, or in this case, a U.S. fiscal problem, exists. And, you know, as long as U.S. deficits rise over time, and, you know, our view is that they will as sure as the sun rises in the east, while foreign investors are not buying enough treasuries to sterilize those deficits, which is looking also highly likely given, you know, current account pressures in creditor nations like China, as well as what FX hedging markets are doing, which are effectively paying the foreign private sector not to buy treasuries, then the strains in the U.S. money markets are likely only going to get worse with deficits. And this is going to force the Fed to inject increasing amounts of liquidity for the foreseeable future. And we just find that this is not well understood at this point. And, you know, as far as what are the really big things that would change my mind about us being in the early innings of this, what we think is a risk on gold up, Bitcoin up, dollar down trend. You know, for me, it's really two big things. You know, big thing number one, if you will, is if the U.S. government began slashing entitlements or defense spending, then that to me would be enormously dollar positive and risk negative. In theory, you know, the U.S. could also cut interest expense, but that's hard to do in a dollar friendly way because it basically necessitates cutting rates pretty notably. And so, you know, while I would concede that the U.S. could theoretically slash spending on entitlements or defense, as a practical matter, in a representative democracy that, you know, has 9 guns for every 10 people and which 10 years ago bailed out the entire financial system in a pretty politically unpopular and short-sighted manner, it strikes me as exceedingly unlikely that the U.S. is going to slash entitlements or defense anytime soon. And, you know, I think we can see signs of that already with some of the early presidential campaign promises being tossed out there about college debt forgiveness and things like that. And so that's big thing number one. Big thing number two that would really change my view is if you had, you know, open conflict or a world war breakout between U.S. and China or between the U.S. and Russia. And then I think there'd be an epic flood out of risk into dollars and treasuries, at least initially. But after sort of an initial period, I think all bets would be off. And, you know, such a scenario to me is not just highly unlikely, but it's totally uninvestable. So I just don't spend a lot of time thinking about it.
What's the bottom line as you look across markets today?
You know, back on May 28th, we said that the punchline is that U.S. deficits are likely going to force the Fed to inject dollar liquidity in increasing amounts, likely no later than early 2020 and quite possibly sooner, effectively in order to end a worsening dollar shortage in the U.S.'s own banking system that's being caused by a structurally rising U.S. deficits in the face of foreign buying strike of treasuries by both foreign central banks and foreign private sector investors. And I guess when you say what's the bottom line, or the bottom line is quite possibly sooner than early 2020, looks like it's now become quite probably sooner than early 2020 in terms of the Fed injecting more dollar liquidity. You know, but our conclusions remain the same, as we said on May 28th. Those that believe the dollar can run for a long time to come are effectively making a bet that the Fed will decide to permanently lose control of the price of money in the U.S., and we just don't think that's a good bet. We think the Fed will cede control over the quantity of money or grow their balance sheet in order to control the price of money or rates, likely by no later than early 2020. That's what we said then. When they do that, we suspect that rates will do whatever the Fed wants them to do. We think risk assets will do quite well. And, you know, our guess is the dollar won't like this very much, which is interesting given what is still pretty highly bullish positioning on the dollar today. And so given all of this together, we remain overweight risk assets in the U.S. We prefer a slant towards value versus growth. And we like gold. We like Bitcoin.
Well, Luke, thanks for another fantastic interview. We look forward to having you back on All Stars in a couple of weeks for another update. Today's All Stars episode was made possible by TopTradersUnplugged.com. If you want a different perspective on how to invest in today's markets without emotions and without predictions, go to TopTradersUnplugged.com/macro, where you can claim a free book about a highly dependable and consistent, yet frequently overlooked investment strategy. Check them out. You'll be glad you did. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.